Oh, Friday, welcome to the catch-up. It's been a long week, a full working week, imagine that.
I know. Dudes, I'm really up for those four days.
Hey, so Marto was away today, Robin, but we pressed on him in his absence. Gordy Tallis was good. We just spoke to your sons about Mother's Day. That was very cute.
It was very cute. It's going to cost me a huge amount of money, but thank you very much, Ed Cavalier. I did get the fact that they loved me out of them.
I thought that that would help you.
Well, I reckon it's going to cost me a pair of soccer boots and getting electronics back. But apart from that, awesome!
They did mention that.
Rosalie rang in.
Yeah, Rosalie had a quick go because she's not happy Marto wasn't on the show. So it was classy. Have a lovely weekend. God, that's it. My voice went at the exact right time.
This Marto, Ed and Robin catch up for Morgan and Wacker Harley Davidson. Grab a new Harley from Morgan and Wacker Harley Davidson and they'll give you up to $3,000 to customise it. 104.5, the new Triple M.
Okay, so it's Mother's Day coming up on the weekend, Robin.
Yes.
And just in the studio, we've just, you know, we all chat in the songs and we've been chatting a little bit about Mother's Day and you're the single mother of three boys, you know, you do your best for them and you've been saying, just you haven't been complaining, but you've just been mentioning that you're not entirely sure that the boys have been behaving at their very best recently and you've been slightly concerned that perhaps they're not going to be coming to the party with Mother's Day as much as you quite richly deserve and perhaps would like.
Okay.
So.
Yes.
I got the number of Lewin, the oldest.
No, yes. Well, he's the middle.
Oh, middle. Sorry, Lou in the middle.
Yeah, no, Finn's 17 and way too cool to talk to anyone.
Yeah, that's good. Even me, I am on the TV. So Lou in the middle one that you describe as the feistiest.
Yes.
And young Piper, the baby.
Yes.
Who I believe is your favourite, but we'll move on. Oh. So what I did was, what me and Brendo did earlier this morning in one of the songs, we sent you out of the room. And we called Lewin and Piper to make sure that they were up to scratch for Mother's Day. And this is what happened.
Kick things off with Lewin.
Okay. Hello.
Oh, dear. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, thanks.
Now, let's get some statistics. You are how old?
15.
Yeah, okay. Now, she describes you, your mum, Robin, describes you as the feisty one. Is that fair?
Don't think so.
Okay, don't think so. All right, now I understand at the moment that you've lost all your devices, the Xbox, the phone, the computer, they're all gone. Is that right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Now, what did you do to get those privileges taken away?
Had a little argument.
Sounds feisty.
Yeah.
Now, whose fault was the argument, Lewin?
Probably mine.
Ah, now we're getting somewhere. Okay, buddy, here we go. Now, do the smart thing here. I was raised by a single mother, my friend, so, okay. Now, do the smart thing here. I'm going to give you a chance to say something nice about your lovely mother, Robin, here on the radio. Now, I want you to think about it and say something super nice. You never know. It might lead to the return of some of your devices. It might just make Mother's Day a lovely day for your mum. So what does your mum do that's just so wonderful for you, Lewin?
My mum's pretty amazing doing what she does.
Yes.
Every day. She goes to work pretty early in the morning at like 3 a.m., then comes home, never stops driving us around, never stops loving us, takes us to soccer every day, no matter what, gets us to where we need to be. So, yeah, she's pretty amazing.
Oh,
is that a pass mark? That's a pass mark.
Yeah, good on you, buddy. Have you got a card for her yet?
Yeah, we do.
Oh,
that's impressive.
Who organised that? Which one of you?
Zoma, our nanny.
Oh, well, she doesn't count as a kid, buddy. All right, Lewin, good to speak to you, mate.
Yeah.
See ya.
We also, Ed Cavalier, have Robin's youngest son. Butter would not melt in this kid's mouth, I'll tell you that much. Piper, good morning, mate.
Good morning.
Pipey. How old are you, buddy?
I'm 12.
You're 12, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you're the baby of the family, aren't you?
I guess so, yeah.
Well, I don't know if there's anyone else on the way at the moment, so I think so. Hey, Pipe. Just between you and me, okay? Just you, me and Brendo here. Your mum's out of the room. Marto's away today. Would you say you were the favourite, buddy?
I'm not sure, actually. I'd say that it would be equal.
Oh, he's so modest. You're definitely the favourite, mate.
You are the favourite. All right, Pipe. So, this is your chance, okay? Now, you got to say, you know, I understand at the moment that you, because you've got to bribe kids, I understand that. So, what's up in your world at the moment? What's your most pressing concern? I understand there's a problem with your soccer boots. What is it?
Yeah, well, my boots are breaking at the moment, so. getting some new ones wouldn't hurt.
There's a bit of attitude in that. Getting some new ones wouldn't hurt, Mum. You wouldn't mind going to Rebel Sports. Are they open at 3 a.m? Jeez, I'm not sure when you're on your way to work. All right, Pipe.
Yeah.
Here's your chance. Your mum's a single mum. She loves you boys. She talks about you all the time. Here's your chance. Say something for the whole of Brisbane to hear. What's great about your mum, Robin?
What's really good about my mum is that she's always constantly driving around every single day.
Your older brother. No. Your brother already did the taxi work. You got to do something else.
Oh, okay. I'm sure it's not that hard to think.
Yeah, you'd think.
Does she cook beautiful dinners?
Yeah, sometimes she cooks and it's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pivey, what about the love and support she gives you? What about that?
Yeah, she's always at our sporting events.
No.
The overarching theme I'm finding is that your mum's a great driver.
She's one of the great minibus drivers of Brisbane. Wish your mum a happy Mother's Day because she'll hear this and she'll cry.
Okay, thank you.
You've got to wish your mum a happy Mother's Day.
Oh, happy Mother's Day, Mum.
Yeah. Tell her that you love her on air, buddy.
I love you.
Good on your Pipe. See you, buddy.
Okay, see ya.
That was a little bit earlier with your kids, Robin.
That's very sweet, Ed Cavalli. Thank you very much.
Look, if heaven forbid, something that was to happen to you, I don't know where they'd find an Uber driver that could match what you provide.
Now, we can really only talk about this because Marto is away. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, it was quite late in the Today show, they had Caitlyn Jenner on live from LA.
Eh.
Now, Caitlyn had obviously done her homework or had some producer do her homework.
Sorry, Robin, I don't think she's tuning in every day to watch the Today show. I think if you ring Caitlyn Jenner's phone, she doesn't say, I wake up with Today.
Oh. Good impression.
Thanks for that. Anyway, because she knew she was on, she made this reference, then she started the conversation, and I want you to note how kind of half awkward Carl and Lisa are with the whole thing.
If you don't mind, have you been on any dates? Is there a special someone?
I heard Richard. Was Richard available?
Richard is available.
Thank you. And you thank you. I need to make a trip.
Yes.
He comes to LA quite a bit as well, so things can be sorted.
Oh, really? Caitlin. There we go. Richard and I maybe should go out.
Yes, and we want to film the whole thing.
Yes, very good.
Thank you,
I can't
Caitlin.
Wait. He could be my first date.
Beautiful.
Oh, my God.
What, Ed Cavalli? What?
Oh, my God. Finally. Finally, a married at first sight that I am keen on. Do you know, I can't stand that show. It's everything. It's everything you could ever hope for. So it's a first date, yeah? So Caitlyn Jenner's first date is with Richard Wilkins.
Well, apparently. But, of course, you've got to hear Richard's side of it. And so they brought Richard onto the set.
Oh, they've dragged him out.
And they've dragged him out. And then they've said to him, hey, mate, this is what happened.
Oh, God, yes.
And this is what he said.
Love us something?
Yeah. Caitlyn Jenner is very interested in going on a date with you.
Ah, well, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah. We're going to see if we can set that up.
Great.
She said she's happy to come to Australia, but we said you go to Los Angeles a lot, so.
You'd have to chaperone her.
I have to have dinner with Caitlin.
Exactly.
All right, moving on.
Jeez, he is straight. He's straight batted that one.
He has never been less keen on doing anything. Oh, that's great. I'm worried about the age gap. Can I be honest with you?
Oh, okay.
I'm worried about the age gap. I've just looked it up. Caitlyn Jenner, of course, is 67.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Wilkins, 114.
What? Marto, Ed and Robin, it's the new Triple M. Look who this is.
Hello, Marto. Rosalie from Logan here. Hello.
Of course, our favourite Logan correspondent, Rosalie, is called in. Say hello to Rosalie, Robin.
Oh, no, Marto's not here. Hi, Rosalie.
Put Marto on, please.
He's not here. He's sick.
I'd like to speak to Gregory, please.
He's sick. I'm sorry, Rosalie. He's really crook. It's just me and Brendo and Ed.
What have you done to him?
Well, Nothing.
Robin Bailey, I knew this would happen. I said, Marlo, that many sexts when it was announced that you were joining the show. I said, you watch that woman, Gregory. She's going to try and get between you and I. And I don't mind another woman between you and I, but I like her to be someone that I got out of the back of the Yellow Pages. I have been sick to my stomach worrying about that tall little Gregory. No wonder Patty's butt. No wonder give him a hot water bottle or any of the other hot things I'd like to give him. What have you done with it, Robin Bailey?
Well, I think he's just at home. He's in bed. He's got a crooked tummy. Like, he's got gastro.
You're talking about his bed, are you? That bed is for two people only. Rosalie and that wife of his until we can get rid of her.
Rosalie, we did record some bits of Marto before he was sick, so I guess you can always have the conversation you always wanted to have with him. Do you want to say hello to Marto?
Oh, this is what I've been waiting for. Turn Robin Bailey's mic off, please.
Okay, she's gone. It's just you and Marto now. So
Marto, it's
hello
your...
there.
Oh, hello there, Gregory. I tell you something, Gregory. I've been a juice cleanse with Clive Palmer. I've lost half my body weight. My clothes are literally falling off me.
Oh, respect.
Respect's not a word that Rosalie normally hears, especially not the morning after. I tell you something, Marto. I've got these little divorce papers drawn up, and what I thought I might do is just fax them over to the station. I've already forged your wife's signature, so you and I can finally take that tiger flight to Hamilton Island we're always sexting about.
That's the ticket.
That's two tickets. Oh, my Lord. All my Christmases have come at once. This is fantastic. Have you got one there to ask me what I'm doing on the weekend?
That will do me.
Oh, well, I will do you. You know I will. Oh, Lord, on a bike. Oh, things are finally coming up, Rosalie. Hey, woman.
Yes, sorry, me, I'm back.
That's you,
yes.
You're the woman.
Sorry.
Ask me what I'm doing on the weekend.
What are you doing on the weekend, Rosalie?
Thank you for asking. For Mother's Day down in Logan, I'm having Rosalie's Lonely Men's Party. If you're a man and your mummy's not around, maybe she's you're passed on, or maybe she's not around at the moment, come round to Rosalie's place because we're having a very classy evening. It's me, Sean Kennedale, Kevin Proctor, a couple of Sharks executives, and all the headphones you can, whatever you do with them. We're having a huge night. And then afterwards, Rosalie, I'm sorry, you're Rhyme Rosalie, you're Robin. In case we need to get to sleep, we're going to put on the Gold Coast versus Port Adelaide match from China and we'll all be asleep in seconds.
Thanks, Rosalie.
Oh, bless you, Rosalie. Bye.
Robin Bailey is a single mother.
Mm.
I was raised by a single mother. I know that Mother's Day is felt more acutely by single mothers, as it should be. All mothers deserve wonderful time on Mother's Day. So you going out the room, Robin Bailey, yeah. And I'm having a chat to these boys.
All right. Front page of today's Courier Mail. It's kind of sad, actually, when you think about our Queensland Police Service, because a senior police officer is pretty much just apologising to the general public of Queensland, saying it's a bit of a joke and we're really sorry. And he claims that basically criminals are pretty much just doing whatever they like, and we're not in a very good state, and morale is so down in the Queensland Police Force that they're saying it's the lowest since the Fitzgerald inquiry, and we know how well that went.
When I read that, that was pretty shocking. During the Sir Joe era, if people are too young to remember, it was certain parts of Queensland, and certainly through the police force, there was some pretty wild things going on. Let's just say that the West End was a much more entertaining place if you knew where to look than it may be now.
But in this room, it's kind of interesting because, Brenda, your brother has just become a New South Wales police officer.
Yes, he has, yeah.
Like, and only graduated 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, a few weeks ago. So he's on the beat now, yeah.
Well, and wow. I, as a career option when my radio stuff was lagging somewhat, decided to go through the recruitment process for the Queensland Police.
You've been through the police recruitment
process. I went through the process to enable me to then go on to the academy. So I didn't do the 9 months at the academy,
yeah,
obviously, because then I'd be a police officer. But yes. I went through the process to be actually qualified.
Anyone that puts their hand up to go and serve as a police officer, I think is fantastic. To say that you want to go and serve the community in that way as your career, I think is a noble and excellent thing to be doing.
It's not easy either, and I reckon your brother would say that too, Brendo. Like, you have a psych test, and that took a number of hours.
What is a psych test?
Well, there was lots of situations where what would you do in this position? There were also, like, sort of moral dilemmas and moral questions about how would you handle certain things, and there was a written psych test, and there was also, you know, grammar and English, which meant that I only
600 questions, my brother said this year. 600.
It's intense. And then they sit you in front of a police officer, like a recruitment person, and you actually have to go through scenarios and how they throw things at you.
So like you arrive at a scene. Is it crime sort of stuff? Like, so you arrive at a scene and this is going on and that's going on.
And moral things. Like, if you know one of the criminals, for example, how would you behave? Would you treat them? You know, what would be the by the book?
You arrive at a bar. There's a number of NRL players there. They've all got this white powder.
And then?
Do you ask for a selfie or do you say, hey, lads, what's that?
Yeah.
Things like
that. Yeah, pretty much. Jeez. And also, you know, you do a physical. And you have to swim fully clothed for 50 metres.
Whoa.
I couldn't do that.
There's no way I could do that.
Really?
I couldn't. No, I don't think I'd get to 50 metres with flippers.
No, with shoes on.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to do that. Yeah.
And then is there an obstacle course?
Yeah, there's a big obstacle course. And if you're driving down on, what is that, the Logan Motorway, you can see the Police Academy on if you're heading out towards Ipswich, on the Ipswich Motorway, is it?
Right, there you go.
The Ipswich Motorway. And it's around Darra. And if you look over, you'll see the dogs all lined up and you can see the obstacle course. And the most fun thing was the gun
they
shooting.
They gave you a gun?
Yeah, they did. Oh, I know. God. And I got a bullseye, actually. I know, complete fluke.
One bullseye. Where are the others? Where are the other bullets landing?
Have we
found those bullets yet?
No.
And, okay, the big question is, Robin Bailey, did you pass?
Yes, I did.
Oh.
As I said, I only scraped through the written stuff. I got 69%, which was pretty much how I did in my HSC as well. Right. But, but I did. I could go into the academy and become a Queensland police officer, and then the front page would really have to apologise. Yeah.
That's what you want, Cavalli, someone just scraping through the police academy.
I was going to say, get our top woman on it. Well, we can't get her. Well, get that chick that got 69%. That sounded exciting. Can't believe the way the AFL's going to play a game in China. Great. You know, good on them. They're expanding their horizons, Robin. Mm-hmm. They're doing fantastic work. You know, we've seen in GWS, AFL just knows how to throw money at people. And they're getting more juniors. They're declining junior rates in rugby league in New South Wales. And AFL's on the rise. And they're really having a go at the Gold Coast and excellent. And then they do this game where they're playing in Shanghai. Now, it's Gold Coast versus Port Adelaide in Shanghai.
Mm-hmm.
And I should tell you, there are still flights available. If you left now... Right. And the people of Shanghai, they are that excited about it. Here's what they've whinged about so far. Oh, it might be hot.
Well, yeah, it's China.
They're from the Gold Coast and they're from Port Adelaide. One of the coach of the Gold Coast, he was saying he didn't want to go because he was worried there might be a sandstorm.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah. And then the poor little Lalas had to sit on a plane, Robin, and the plane got delayed. I know.
Have they met any of the raw players after they've won a premiership who have to then go and, you know, go to Asia and play a game on Wednesday, then come back and play another game on Saturday?
What are you saying, Robin Bailey, that soccer players have been routinely flying from Australia to much further parts of Asia and back again all in a week?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're suggesting?
I am suggesting that.
Dear, oh dear, Robin Bailey, it's almost like the AFL players are massive sooks.
Here's one for you.
They had a question and answer. They've just gone over and they've had a question and answer. They had a press conference, all in English, which is great for the local media. And here's the first question. One of them got asked, I've got to find it. Oh, yeah. Aside from the beaches, this one of the Gold Coast players got asked this. Aside from the beaches, why else should Chinese people visit the Gold Coast?
Okay. And what did they say?
He just replied,
because we've got the Commonwealth Games and you're not
Jupiter's,
in.
Right?
He did nod.
No, he did it. He gave a very nice answer about beaches, etc. They're also worried that it might make them a bit sweaty, Robin. They're worried that it might be too humid for them to play the poor dears.
So,
right?
So what? They're doing it for what? Tourism? Or they're doing it because, oh, okay, so a Port Adelaide has got the first Chinese player ever in the AFL, a Chinese-born guy. Yeah, the club's got Chen Shouling, the first Chinese-born player to make it into the AFL list.
Okay.
So maybe that's why.
That's nice.
They're recruiting.
They're recruiting. You know, there's there's prizes.
Right. What are the prizes?
The best on ground in the Shanghai AFL match gets a pallet of baby formula to distribute amongst locals. And the team that wins?
Yeah, what do they get?
They get a two-bedroom apartment in Sydney next to a good school.
Oh.
It's going to be great. Marto is away sick today, so mm-hmm. we wish him a speedy recovery. But he lives on in small soundbite form, does he not, Brendan?
He
so
does.
Every now and again, you might just hear nothing. You might hear a little something.
Something like this.
Correcto mundo.
There he is.
Thank you, mate.
That's a ticket.
It is a ticket.
Just things like that.
I don't think he'd be feeling that great. Apparently got a bit of gastro. But anyway. Yeah. Loves it. Loves the porcelain bus.
Robin, I wasn't going to say that. I was trying to be discreet with young Marto's ailments, and you're saying,
yeah, he's got some tummy problems because Marto's one of those guys that comes from the old school of work ethic, and he would turn up if he could literally get in the door.
Turn it up.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying, Marto.
He held a grudge against one of our producers for a year because he took him to hospital one day because he wasn't feeling well.
That's a ticket.
Remember that time you took me to hospital? Yeah, and you were sick. That's beside the point.
Yeah,
incorrectamundo.
All right.
Okay, no, thanks, Marto. Have you been reading this story on page 9 of today's Courier Mail?
Love it.
About Johnny Depp. The new movie, the new Caribbean Dead Man's Tells No Tale, the Pirates movie.
Yeah, luckily,
which
you're
was
not
shot
in charge of the title.
Yeah.
That was,
I missed
that was
the
lengthy
other bit. I was half reading and half talking to you. Yes, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Look, I can read now. Anyway, they've been talking about Johnny Depp, and we all know that he was going through a fair bit when he was here shooting it.
Yes.
He was apparently very volatile with his wife, Amber Heard.
Yes.
But it's now been revealed that a Disney staffer was given the job of staying outside his mansion and informing producers and people on the set when he actually woke up. What a gig.
Human alarm clock. Because they were having such trouble. He would keep the whole set. You got to remember that those film sets, those massive, massive film sets, you can burn as much as $10,000 a minute. Sometimes,
whoa,
just
really?
Standing still on a giant film set on some of them can cost up to $50,000 a minute just for everything to be, even just because for the lights and for everyone that's standing around.
Oh,
so when he
God
was making them hours and hours late, they're making a $1 billion bet on Johnny Depp being up to it. And so, of course, they had to have someone whose job it was. And that person would have been getting screamed at. Where is he? I can't wake him. I'm a low-level employee. I was getting coffee till yesterday. What's he doing? Go and get him out of bed. I can't. That's what would have been happening.
Well, I had a gig once with a radio person who will remain nameless because I still think they're in the industry somewhere. I was a 19-year-old assistant producer. It was my first gig in radio after I'd got out of the Black Thunders.
Yes.
And my job was to make sure that this guy got to work every morning. And the amount of times I would have to drive past his house, and if the lights were off, I had a key to the house and I literally had to, and I did it numerous times, drag him out of bed and put him in the shower and get him in the car and get him to work.
That will do me.
Yeah.
I know, mate. It's a shocker. That's incredible.
I mean, it was the 80s and, you know, like he would be partying until 4 o'clock and then I had to pick him up at 4:30 and he'd be passed out on the couch.
Yeah, but Marto's always been like that.
Come on, mate.
Anyway, it's worth finding out, though, about those first lowly jobs.
Yeah, your first lowly job in your industry. That's a great question. You know, I drove the cars for a long time. And I tell you, Robin, I used to do some of the great barbecues outside tyre dealerships on Sundays. And when you're cleaning that barbecue after 6 hours and the bloke who runs the tyre dealership says, mate, why didn't anyone buy any tyres? And you'd have to say, I don't know. Do you want 250 raw sausages? Because I've got them for you. What was your entry-level job, guys? I want to hear about other industries. What are entry-level jobs? I don't know. What's a... We hear about industrial cleaners with us. We hear about dry cleaners, brickies, roofers.
And you wondered what an entry-level job would be like at an abattoir, Robin.
And look at this, Ryan of Mango Hill, you had a level entry job at an abattoir. What were you doing?
Well, when you first start there, they give you a job. It's called a floor boy, which is cleaning up all the blood and off-cuts, like hoofs and stuff that they don't that fall on the floor.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
How old were you, mate?
About 15, 16.
15 years old, and that was your job. How long did you last?
Oh, I did it on school holidays, so I did it for about a year and a half on my school holidays.
Some people are being lifeguards at the beach. Some people are working at Boost Juice. There are people who are delivering pizzas, and you're the floor boy at the abattoir.
Yep.
So did it pay well? Like, I wouldn't have imagined there'd be heaps of young guys lining up to do it.
It was about $250, $300 a week.
All right, let me ask you this, Ryan, because Hughesy, Dave Hughes the comedian, used to work in an abattoir in Victoria, and he's never eaten meat again. How do you go with meat?
Oh, I can't go without it.
Yeah, man. I like that attitude.
The hoofs and blood did nothing to Ryan.
Ryan loves it.
Can I tell you a story, actually? I want to talk about first aid.
Yes.
Because there's that ad that's going around at the moment. Those ads are so emotional, Robin. The St. John's Ambulance.
Yes,
I get
they
you
are.
First aid. Yeah. The one where the woman talks about how she saved her husband's life with first aid. That's one where my wife is pregnant, yes, so she's already emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw that ad and she got off her little couch and came crawling over onto my couch and she was like hugging me. I'm like, you're already pregnant, love. There's no point. And she said, and what made me think of it was that I was in Sydney visiting some family a couple of weeks ago.
I remember, for your mum's birthday.
Yeah, mum's birthday, sorry, yeah. And we were driving to a restaurant and we were parked at some lights and I heard just a sickening noise. I just heard a crash and a screech. And I looked across and a guy had tried to beat the lights and at the same time turn into a servo, which was on the right-hand side of the road. And he'd cleaned up a motorcyclist who was coming
no,
the other way.
No.
And he cleaned him up so badly that when the car came to a rest inside the service station, the motorcycle rider was still on the bonnet of the car.
Did the guy live?
He cracked the windscreen with his back or his side, whatever he had, and the bike was spinning. The bike stopped. Sort of spinning, and then the guy was on the bonnet of the car, and I got out and called 000. That's, called 000.
Mm-hmm.
And then started making my way over to the guy and the crash to see what you can do. And just before I got there, another guy had jumped out of his car, and he was, because the way he'd been stopped, is that the motorcycle rider's head was sort of a little bit off the front of the car.
Yeah.
And the guy was saying, you're all right. And the motorcycle rider was like, oh, I think so. He's like, don't move, mate, don't move. And he was just lightly sort of supporting his head,
mm-hmm.
not moving it, but just lightly supporting it, right?
Yeah.
And another girl came over and she clearly knew first aid. And she was asking him questions about, his neck and his back and things like that and saying, don't move, da 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 da. Then the ambulance got there quite quickly. And the fire department and the cops and the ambulance all got there very, very quickly. But what I saw, Robin, is that those the two people that got to him first
knew what they were doing.
Yeah, both of them.
Do you? And you didn't?
Well, I didn't. I knew to call the ambulance.
Yeah, but you're like the general public. Most of us wouldn't know, I don't think.
And that's the thing. And when I got off the phone, I got back in the car with my wife, and I said, I've done first aid, but it was so long ago, I have to update it.
Yeah, in case something happens in your own house, if you've got a situation, like how many of those things do you see mums just screaming because something's happened to their child and they don't know what to do?
It was such a, it's terrible when these things, attitude adjust are like that, but it was just, and I think he was all right. I think the guy ended up being okay, the motorcycle rider, but it was a shock. And I thought, I'm talking to my wife about when we can book in to go and do it, to get it updated. Because hers is always, but she's just going to come with me because hers is always updated. Because of her personal training and working with kids, she's a legend of first aid.
Have you done a first aid course? And more importantly, Have you ever had to use it?
Have you ever had to use it, or have you been in a situation where you've seen other people jump forward and use first aid?
Louise of Ashgrove, what happened?
So a few years ago, back before Chermside was redone up, my mum and I were down there doing some shopping, and there was a lady in one of the cubicles in the bathroom that had had a heart attack. And, you know, it was a busy time. I think it was around Christmas, so there was heaps of people in there, and no one actually knew first aid or how to do CPR or anything like that. And my mum, who's actually a nurse, was the only one in there that knew, and she was there for about 30 minutes before a paramedic, security or anyone like that was able to come and help her.
Did she save a life?
She did, yeah. So she got her laying down, you know, was supporting her, was giving her CPR and everything. And if she wasn't there, it would have been, yeah, a different outcome.
Your mother saved a stranger's life. It's as simple as that.
She did, yeah.
Because she had the skills.
That's it.
She did, yeah. And, you know, she's been a nurse for over 20-something years. So helping people is what she likes.
What she does.
Good on you, Louise. Thank you. And Bill of Kashmir, what happened? First aid course, you had to use it?
Yeah, I was driving down the motorway and came across a car crash, and an old guy had passed out at the wheel and rolled his car. And I was the first one there and had to switch the motor off and that. And, he had his head all jammed up against the ceiling, and a lady pulled up right behind me, and she said that she was a nurse and said, "No, don't worry about it, mate, he's a goner." She wandered off. So what I did is I kicked the seat back and cleared his airway, and I could see he was sort of convulsing a bit. And as soon as I kicked the seat back and cleared it all up, he took a big gasp, and, yeah, within about 5 minutes, he was telling me his name, address and phone numbers, and, yeah, God. It was...
Bill, how did you know how to do that? Because you'd done a first aid course?
I'm an air conditioning mechanic, so we sort of do it every 12 months. We have to do the CPR, and, yeah, it was just I could see that his head was all sort of kinked down against his chest, and I went, well, you know, he's not breathing, but he sort of looks like he's trying to. So
you saved his life, Bill. Simple as that. You've saved a stranger's life, Bill. That's amazing. Great work, mate. That's absolutely fantastic work. There's a lot of calls coming through. Is this Marianne? Hi, Marianne.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
It's actually my niece. She, her daughter is a paramedic, and this is down in Melbourne. And she, my niece was walking down the street one day and saw a guy slumped over at his desk in an office. And she just thought there was something strange about it. No one had noticed. She went in there and realised that he had had a heart attack. So she gave him first aid because my great-niece had said to her, "Mom, you've got to get, you know, your first aid certificate." So she'd done that. She gave him first aid and did what she had to do for CPR and all that sort of thing, and then called an ambulance, and the paramedic that turned up with her daughter.
Whoa, really?
Yep. It was her daughter, and they both got awarded with bravery medals.
And how old was your niece?
At the time, she was about, well, this happened probably about 4 or 5 years ago, and she's 29, so she's about 24. She'd not long been a paramedic. My great-niece was a paramedic, and my niece, she's in her 40s, within her 40s at the time.
Wow, that's great. Thank you, Marianne. I tell you what, Robin, I wouldn't mind. Maybe we should get, maybe a little bit later on in the year, we should give you some time to organise it. Maybe me and... a bunch of listeners that haven't got their first aid up to scratch, maybe we could try and do the course together or something.
Yeah,
you know?
I'd do it. I reckon Marto would too. Yeah, unless he already knows
that
stuff.
But he'd try and have a pub crawl first.
Yeah, he would.
Turn it up!
Thank you, everyone. Amazing stories. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with Gordy Tallis. Tell us, everyone loves Tallis. Very busy weekend for you, Gordon Tallis. There is footy everywhere.
There is footy everywhere, and obviously we've got the double header.
Yes.
At Suncorp. So that's the one that I was looking forward to the most. We don't get enough games up in Queensland or in Brisbane. We've got probably the greatest stadium for rugby league and soccer, I suppose, in the country. And it doesn't get utilised enough. So
okay.
Congratulations to Manly and Melbourne to bring in the game up here.
I agree with that. Hey, Gord, do you think, you know, this is something that comes up every now and again, but second Brisbane team, what do you reckon? Time for a second Brisbane team?
Look, I think it's going to happen. There's no doubt that it will happen. The fact of the matter is, you know, the talent that we've got and when they come in. So to expand, you know, and it comes down to the television deal. We know that the AFL, I think, have 9 games every weekend instead of 8. We've only got eight, so there's no doubt that it will happen in the future, but it already depends with the Sydney club probably pushing over to Perth and all that kind of stuff. But
you're right.
Yeah.
There is no doubt that if there's a second rugby league team coming, it has to come, I think, in the Queensland, that's for sure.
Hey, Gordy, with the whole, you know, Storm Titans are first, yeah?
Yes.
And then Broncos Manly.
Broncos Manly. Congratulations. Brother.
I know. Look at me go. I know. I'm just checking because, but I also want to know, what do you feel about Manly? Because don't most of us hate Manly?
Yeah. Well, obviously when I went to Sydney back way back in 92, well, I still like Manly because the Queenslanders used to go there.
Fatty.
And, you know, so like, yeah, so Fatty and Dale Shearer and Marty Bella and all those guys used to get a chance to go down there and show their wares. So, but when I went down to Sydney, you had to hate Manly. But now that they're broke, you just hate them a little bit less.
Yeah,
now that they're broke and not winning, you just hate them a little bit less, Robert. You're not as jealous of them buying all the good players.
Hey, Gord, Ben Barber, this story in the Courier Mail today.
Yeah.
He's finished up at Toulon at French Rugby. What a
that did not
highlight.
Toulon, did it?
Oh, no. Gordy, well done. Yeah, that's how I enjoy that one. Hey, is there an NRL club pick him up, do you think, mate?
Oh, look, he's got to serve the 12 match suspension, and it was really poor management from his management. Thought, well, let's get him over to French rugby and he'll serve his 12 weeks over there. Well, it didn't happen, and he only served a short time, thinking that if he did like it and he liked France, that he would stay on. But obviously, it didn't work out, so he's got to come back and serve his suspension. So now it's the rest of the NRL season and then the preseason. So he would be back playing, I think, next week or the week after.
Right.
So it's a pretty poor decision, but if they're the rules, Ed, and if it's 12 weeks and he's had his suspension, so be it. But as a CEO, it'd be a touchy one. It would be a really hard one to touch.
It's not on football ability anymore, is it, Gord? Like there's
No, it's not. It comes on your brand, okay? Yeah. And then, you know, and then I said last night, you know, at some stage the individual's got to take a hit here. Every time, you know, a sports person comes up, that sport gets damaged. But if I have a car accident, it's not the car I'm driving, it's the person behind the wheel. So I think that I think that Ben Barber's got a lot to answer for. If he came back and I was a CEO, he would get drug tested every week, and if it's not fair, so be it. But I would get him drug tested every week and he'd have another 30 random ones at any time.
Wow.
Yeah, that doesn't seem out of the question for me. I really, and if he was smart, he would say, yep, no problem.
Yep,
I'll take the test and I'd be happy to take him in public every week so I can play.
And another reason is, if a club's going to go pay for him, Ed, they're not going to pay top dollar, but yet on the salary cap, because the NRL go, no, he is valued at $650,000. They might only pay him two, but there's still another $400,000 coming off your cap because it's what they value him at. So you can't go and say, oh, look, I sign him. Yeah, so like it stops clubs going, oh, no, mate, we only signed him for $300,000. But we go, no, hold on. For the game, because then Tess would say, well, we only signed Greg Inglis for $300,000.
Yeah,
I don't care what you're signing for. He is worth $800,000 to the competition.
Right. So, that's interesting. So they're doing their own, the NRL's doing their own version of Supercoach. all right, Gord, we'll hear you on the M's all weekend.
Are you calling both games, Gordy?
No, I'm not on Sunday, so I'm not too sure whether I'm going to call the Brisbane game again. I might, because Saturdays are my days off, Robin, so I'm not 100% sure. I might just sit in the crowd and enjoy an afternoon at the footy.
Oh, well, my goodness.
And I can boo three teams.
Thank you, Gordy.
Cheers, guys.
Talked a bit about Mother's Day, of course, because it is on Sunday. And yes, you very kindly, Ed, spoke to my children, and that will be up on our Facebook page and also our website if you missed it. But there's a whole group of other mums that I really think about on, you know, days like Mother's Day. Yeah. And that's people like stepmums.
Yeah.
You know, do they feel like is it still their day? Do they feel like they are valued in that process, particularly if they've come in and there's a separated or a divorce situation where the real mum is actually there, but these stepmums have helped raise some of the kids that they look after? Do they get presents and stuff as well?
It's an incredible job to take on, I guess, not the responsibility, but the co-responsibility of other children that, you know, Robin, that to go into a relationship where there's kids and be like, right, I'm going to be part of this family now and help raise these children. I mean, in your own situation, you're doing it as a single mum.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for you, if you were ever to meet someone, you've said to us before that you don't need them to be a father to the kids.
No, definitely.
You just need them to understand that it's for you and for, you know, something for your life.
So coming into Mother's Day with step-parents, do they feel like they're validated in the same way? We'd love to chat to some if you're a step-mum or you've had a step-mum.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If you've had a step-mum, maybe it was the best thing that ever happened to you and to your father in the relationship. Maybe it changed him, made him more happy in his own life, which made him a better father. Belinda from Dara. And Belinda, what's it like? Are you the step-mum or you've got a step-mum?
No, I have a step-mum.
Okay, and?
And she's wonderful. She stepped in while taking off our mum at a very early age. Mm. And she stepped in when I was six, and she's been our rock. She's more like my mum than my real mum.
Okay.
And so how old are you
every
now?
Mother's Day. I'm 31.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and she's been there since my kids were born. She broke the news to my dad when I eloped.
Wow.
She's amazing. So every Mother's Day, I try to put a little package of everything that she likes and let her know how much she means to me.
Hey, Belinda, you're a mum yourself. Yes, what is the difference between being a mum and being a stepmum?
Just being there. I don't think there's any difference. The only difference is, biologically.
Okay. Very cool.
So I think it depends. I don't have a relationship with my mum. To me, she was just, an egg donor. Right. But
yeah, I see what you're saying, Belinda. It's about the day to day. It's about the relationship. It's about when the rubber hits the road, who's there for you.
It's your stepmum. Well done. Yeah, thanks, stepmom. Belinda.
Thanks, Belinda.
And Jason of Victoria Point, tell us, stepmum, you got one?
Yeah, I'm lucky. I've got a stepmum who I consider to be more of a real mum than my actual mum. I've been closer to my stepmum now for 24 years. Wow. So for me, Mother's Day is about dedicating it to her as opposed to my real mum. But I'm also a step-parent.
Oh, and yourself. Okay.
And for me, and this is a bit contradictory, I prefer that my stepchildren actually spend their time with their real parents as opposed to me, because I know that they love me. Mm-hmm. But Mother's Day and Father's Day are about spending with their real parents.
Wow. Okay, so do you feel any difference in the relationship as a step-parent?
No. As I said, I know that the kids love me, so it's just a day in a calendar when it comes to that for me. As a step-parent, I would prefer that they spend it with their real parents. But when it comes to my mum and my step-mum, I dedicate Mother's Day to my step-mum. It's just that the relationship, and as Belinda was just saying, it's that day-to-day. My step-mum's there in my life every day.
Yep.
So she gets that reward on Mother's Day.
Good. Mother's Day.
Thank you, Jace. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. As is Hayley.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello there.
Tell us about it. Are you a step-mum or do you have one?
I am one. I'm actually on my way now to my stepson's school for a Mother's Day morning tea.
Okay. So, and what about the biological mum? Is she around?
Yeah, we've got him 50-50, so we're both going to this morning tea.
How cool is that?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, the teachers invited me on Monday, and I was actually shocked to get the invite, but I'm glad I did.
Yeah, how'd that make you feel then, Hayley?
I feel like being a stepmum is underappreciated at times, so it did make me feel really good to get that.
What's your relationship with the mum like?
We'll talk about my stepson when we need to, so it's fine, but I wouldn't call it a friendship.
Fair enough, and that is the reality for a lot of people. Happy Mother's Day, Hayley.
Thank you. To you too.
On you, Hayley. Whatever form your mother comes in, make sure you remember this Sunday for Mother's Day.